6:10 in the morning, and got a lot to do on the program today, including former Defense Secretary and CIA Director, now Texas A&M President. Actually, he's not Texas A&M President now. He used to be Texas A&M President. He is the Chancellor at William & Mary, Robert Gates. We'll be on the show in about an hour. And we'll talk to him about a bunch of things, including what he thinks of this current crop of presidential hopeful knuckleheads. He made some news last week with his opinions, but I'll ask him about those coming up. 6:11. Paul Conrad is America's only hope for the future. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, he'd be fun to play hide-and-seek with.
I bet, because he'd be really good at it, wouldn't he?
I got to think he would know some good places to hide.
The former CIA director can keep a secret, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
No,
a little duck-duck-goose with him also would be fun. But I like games.
Your favorite game is what?
Duck-duck-goose.
I don't remember how to play.
I prefer the goose more than the duck.
I don't remember how to play duck-duck-goose. Is
you
it complicated?
Yeah, that's not terribly complicated. You walk around when you find someone that you want to goose, you find a couple
you
people
squeeze a duck?
No.
Them, and you say, duck. And then when you get to them, you goose them, and you run.
No, that's how you played?
Yeah.
No, all the kids sit in a circle, and then you go around, and you pat them on the head, and you go, duck,
that's
duck,
a dumb
duck,
game,
duck. And then when you say, goose, you tap the kid on the head, and you have to run around in the circle.
No, that's not duck, duck, goose.
Let's go to Dave for a full explanation of duck, duck, goose. Dave?
I think actually Andrea had it right, and I think it's understandable why none of the other kids wanted to play it with Paul.
No, Paul plays it only with his fellow anchors at Channel 9.
Frankly, anybody. I've opened it up to the general public.
Is this one of your ways to get through the winter? I was thinking about you this weekend.
You've got to find ways to keep it fresh.
Yeah, like the people in Washington and New York. I don't know if you heard there was a storm on the East Coast this weekend.
You know, I'm reading some articles about it this morning.
Yes, and those kind of things will sneak up on you.
Yeah.
But what do you do to get through a winter storm? Because we're going to get one before the winter's over.
I go out in it. I love it.
You do?
I couldn't, the more the merrier for me.
Do you have a camera crew with you at the time?
Or this is all private.
Oh, I see.
I try to take, somebody.
Of your 15 or 20 kids, who enjoys the snow?
That's a great question. I don't know any of them that would. Maybe Klaus.
Klaus a little bit?
Because he's at that age where he's just trying to get away from everybody. So, you get him outside. I'm not promising he's going to get back in the house. But
he may not come home.
Any opportunity for that door to open up and for him to run, he's taking it.
Yeah, well, you told me a story a while ago about one of your children actually did that when they were little.
Yeah. Actually, he was two. That's when it started with him.
Yeah, open a door and he took off.
Yeah, and I'm sitting at my desk and I think, somebody is breaking in or something because it's got that little ding on
the door. Turns out they were breaking out.
Right, so I sat there, just kept working. Then I thought, wait a minute, I have a son. And my wife is in the shower, and so I think I better go check on that. And I look out the door. I live in a high rise, and I look out the door, and he has made it all the way down the hall and has pressed the elevator button.
Oh, boy.
And the elevator just happened to be right there.
Oh, boy. That's
but I got him back, so that's all that
good.
Matters.
That's
so before
good.
You start sending DCFS, it's fine.
Well, they check on you every couple of days, don't they?
Every third day they come.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice people. I got to say, nice people.
So to get through a winter storm, just go out in it.
Go out, celebrate it. What are we, we're sitting on the internet and living life vicariously. And let me just direct this specifically to the senior citizens out there. Let's get out and live life, right? Let's not spend our days forwarding emails to our children and grandchildren. Get out and live it up a little bit. Take some risks. Things like your medication. Maybe skip a day or take two one day. Let's live.
Let's
make something happen.
That's really, really terrible advice.
Well, days are numbered.
That's a fair point. So in other words, if you break a hip, you've got another one.
You got two.
Yeah.
And, modern medicine these days, they can put a new one in pretty easily from what I understand. Heck, I could probably do it. I've been getting some hip work done. There's this guy who drives around my neighborhood in a van.
Right.
And I've been using him as my doctor for the last 8 years. And he does great work. Cash only, in and out of there in 20 minutes. It's unbelievable.
It seems like every Monday when we talk to you, we learn something.
Yeah.
And most of the stuff we learn is frightening.
Well, it's all relative.
When it comes to your relatives, it's definitely all relative.
That is.
There's no question about it. All right, so just to wrap this up.
Yep.
Again, if you're old, get off your ass and do something.
Do something, right?
Yes.
Quit sitting looking at the internet and telling the same stories. Get on out there.
I agree with Paul. You know what my mother did?
She's forwarding you emails about politics that you don't care about.
No, my mother's 91, and she decided she's so afraid of water that she decided to take water aerobics at the home.
Now, there we go.
She's
living it up. I'm trying to get a group of streakers together all over 75. We're going to meet today at the Lincoln Park Zoo, all right, at noon. So if you're up for it, we're going to be right by the statue of Grant, noon straight up, and we're going to go for about a quarter mile naked walk.
Naked streaking from the Lincoln Park Zoo.
Right.
Noon
seniors
today.
Only, 75 and older, so we're not running.
Yeah.
It's going to be a slow walk. So
it's going to be a streaker stroll.
Yep.
All right. Well, good luck with
it. Get excited.
And are you going to be naked?
Yeah, I'm naked all the time. Let it rip.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul.
Yep.
Hold the line, if you would. We have prizes
all
for you.
All right.
Wait, I'm being told you've won nothing.
Oh,
all right. But good luck with that streak.
All right. See you at noon, everybody. Bottoms up.
He is messed up.
Yeah,
he's a messed up dude.
What are you talking about?
That's I think he's got something
messed up. I don't know. I think the senior streaking thing's going to catch on, and you two are going to be left out when you're old.
Yeah. Did you hear how he plays Duck Duck Goose?
Well,
it's a children's game.
I don't think he understands Duck Duck Goose at all.
Wouldn't you love to see Paul play Pie in the Face?
I wouldn't love to see Paul really do much of anything. It's 6:17. Let's get to your traffic trouble spot. Should be easy breezy. Light rain, maybe some drizzle. Snow early tonight. Nothing. Just a few flurries. Light snow showers, little or no accumulation tomorrow. So that's kind of the story of the week. Nice job on the Stevie Wonder. Are you working in the new music that I requested?
I am. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Some fresh bumps for you.
Yeah. And I threw in a little bit of everything.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Nice variety.
From old school 70s all the way to...
Pitbull.
Yeah, Pitbull and... And Talk Dirty to Me.
Poison?
I think you could say it this way, from Eagles to 2 Chainz.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, the Eagles documentary that you were talking about last week was on all weekend.
Did you watch it?
It was on Palladia. Yeah, and it was on, I want to say, HBO or Showtime.
It's good.
It was very good.
It's really good. That all, of course, being rerun, and I think CNN even ran it. I don't know. Does CNN have some sort of ownership arrangement with Showtime? Who owns Showtime now?
Oh, that's a good
CBS
question.
Owns Showtime, don't they?
Do they? I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway, CNN was going to run it as well, except for their storm coverage. I don't know if you heard. There was a storm on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. It was bad, I know. I was at O'Hare yesterday.
But there was a storm on the East Coast. Were you aware there was a storm on the East Coast?
Yeah, I was aware. We covered it all weekend.
No, I'm saying that the media tended to cover that there was a storm on the East Coast nationally quite heavily.
Oh, my God!
You know, I will...
Quite heavily.
I will say, though, the pictures were very, very... I don't even want to say cool, but interesting when they had the plows on the airport, on the runways at Dulles and Reagan. And it was, they were just fighting to try and get, you know, trying to see any part of the runway.
No, because it kept coming down.
Yeah, it was so fast.
The panic and the warnings that I'm mocking actually did a service, though, because it kept people off the streets. The forecasts were a little generous in total accumulations. D.C. ended up with 22 inches. New York actually ended up with more. Mm-hmm. And everybody has survived. It'll take a few days to get transit in the air and on the ground back to normal completely. But if you're flying east this morning, you got a chance to get there. I would check with your airport before you leave your house because some flights are still canceled and there's some catching up to do, more so in Washington, actually, than New York. New York is up and running a little quicker.
LaGuardia is still closed. LaGuardia is still not
accepting
flights.
Still completely closed?
It was, yeah, they had not accepted one flight yesterday.
All right, but check this morning. I think they may have reopened. New York and Philadelphia and Baltimore and Washington, all of those airports should be up and running fully by the end of the day. So if you're trying to get east, you'll get there. It's going to take a little longer. At 6:23 next Monday morning, we will be in Iowa for the caucuses next Monday and Tuesday morning. Over the weekend, the news continued to be the same, that it's Trump and Cruz in Iowa and everybody else. And on the Democrat side, that Bernie Sanders is leading Hillary Clinton in Iowa. In most polls, the Des Moines Register endorsements that came out were for Hillary Clinton and Marco Rubio. It's really Rubio's only shot in the arm in Iowa in quite some time. And the others have pretty much cut and run for New Hampshire and are spending all their time there. Governor Kasich, Governor Christie, both making some noise in New Hampshire, but neither one really seems to have enough heat to generate a win there, and that's believed to be either a Trump or Cruz state again, though it's hard to see Cruz winning in New Hampshire. On the Democrat side, he's the senator from right next door in Vermont. Sanders expected to win in Vermont. Now, dial this back to 2008. Everybody thought Hillary was going to win in Iowa, and mm-hmm. Obama won. Mm-hmm. Dial it back to 2012. A guy named Rick Santorum
won Iowa.
Won in Iowa, even though it was announced that it was a Mitt Romney win. Romney eventually won in New Hampshire, and he was off to the races to some extent. The Democrat schedule changes a little bit. After New Hampshire, the Democrats go to Nevada first and then South Carolina, whereas the Republicans go to South Carolina after that for their third contest. If Sanders wins in Iowa and in New Hampshire, I promise you, you will start to hear screams of draft Biden, draft Biden. But the wild card here is former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who has just as much money as Donald Trump, if not more, says he'll get in. He won't get in to run against Hillary. They're personal friends, but he will get in to run against Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting. I would love that matchup.
Yeah. Now, he won't be on any of the ballots.
No.
And he's got to get on the late primary ballots because most of the deadlines are done. But he'll make enough noise in the media to continue to be a presence until he could actually get to a point where he could try to garner a brokered convention and try to get it done that way. So it appears that if Sanders gets legs, there could be another block to Vice President Biden getting in, even as the late hero, the Hail Mary.
Didn't you see Biden getting in at all?
Only if this continues to be a Bernie Sanders upset situation.
I don't see that happening. I mean, so, possibly in Iowa. I don't think
long,
he could take
road.
New Hampshire.
It's a long, long, tough road. You talking about Sanders?
I don't think so.
He's right next door to Vermont. He's been leading in the polls. I think it's a longer shot that he wins Iowa. I think Hillary wins Iowa. He wins New Hampshire. Most importantly, over the weekend, Tina Fey was back to play Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live.
She was great, wasn't she?
She just should stay there. She should just stay there for the entire thing.
She's awesome.
Again, we'll be in Iowa for the caucuses next Monday and Tuesday morning. You're going to run around to the headquarters?
I'll be at the headquarters. I'll be at some of the caucuses as well, Republican and Democrat. And I think we're going to attend a Hillary rally and
a
Trump rally.
We got a big, big Sunday night planned.
Yeah, we
Sunday
do.
Night, Monday night. First off, you're in Des Moines in February, so it's going to be nothing but crazy. But the world's attention will actually be on Des Moines, as it is every 4 years like this. And we're going to do a couple of rallies, probably a Trump and a Hillary, and maybe a Bernie. Because the Bernie rallies look like they're pretty good times.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And the caucus eye, we'll hit both sides of that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be at people's homes or at
I think
the
we're
gonna community
be at a,
halls.
And we're going to be at a gymnasium, I think, for one.
At a school.
Yes, at a school.
At a caucus eye.
You know, I know you're going to make fun of me and laugh at me, but on The Good Wife a few weeks ago, they did, come on, just don't laugh. They did a whole preview of Iowa.
And
they gave a really good indication
really?
Of what to expect.
Really?
Yeah, you go into the small communities, and we'll be explaining that in the, I don't want to
call you write this down. I want you to write this down. Okay. It's a TV show.
I know, but it was a good foundation for those who might not know anything about the caucuses.
Will you promise me that The Good Wife is not your big story coming up at 6:30?
It's not. We'll okay. do some snow.
All right, fine. It's 6:28. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Woke up after midnight. Both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh. Things stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day, it's Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I was thinking this morning, I haven't had a cold all winter. I'm pretty happy about that.
You are pretty lucky as well as happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm not around sick people all the time like you are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Sick people will make you sick. That's my lesson of the day.
And we wrap it up with that.
No, I think we need one. I think there's actually more to discuss.
Oh, okay.
There's a huge news story that is not going away anytime soon because it's really, it's one of those stories that I think it, in perspective of history, we'll look back and go, are you kidding me? How does this happen? Flint, Michigan is not a tiny town. Flint, Michigan is arguably a suburb of Detroit. It is a mess since the auto industry first went belly up a long time ago. And it's a very, very, it's a struggling city. Having said that, along with Detroit, its big brother neighbor in their own economic problems, they cut corners wherever they can. And a short while ago, somebody in the Flint hierarchy said, you know, we could save some money, Doc. You know, we could save some money. We could change the source of the city's water. We could save a bunch of dough if we just flipped it over here to this river. The river, which was known to have high toxicity levels of all sorts of chemicals and problems, but specifically lead. Pick the story up from there and tell me what happened.
Well, yeah, you know, and you kind of hit it right on the head there. Now, all of a sudden, we're starting to see, we're looking at children that are drinking this water and being exposed to this water and starting to see some of the medical problems. And we have to realize that this is not just in Flint, Michigan. Although it's in the media right now, it's great for awareness because we have other states in this country where this is a huge problem. Alabama, Louisiana, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and I hate to say it, even in Illinois, it's an issue with us.
So lead exposure, which we always have associated in the past with, well, it's the kids at Robert Taylor Homes and it's paint chips and it's people that don't know or aren't watching their kids that are having this problem. This is everywhere.
Yeah, it is. But you did hit on it. You know, a lot of this is, you know, we stopped putting lead in gas in the 70s, which was great. So that really took a lot of the lead out of the environment. But unfortunately, there still is a lot in the environment. Houses that were painted in the 70s still have lead in their paint. So when you go and do a rehab of a house that's that old, that dust is going to have lead in the air. We still import toys with paint on them that are painted in different countries that have lead on them. We still have lead in jewelry still. So there still is a lot of chance for exposure, especially for children, with getting exposed to lead.
Doc, we're lucky in Chicago. I know we have one of the best filtration systems in the country. So if you go to the tap and you have a glass of water, usually it should be okay if it's not filtered. But if you are traveling or if you're going somewhere else, maybe even just a small area that uses well water, whatever it might be, how do you know? I mean, what are some of the symptoms that you might have, you know, perhaps caught something like this?
Yeah, and that's the hard part, Andrea, is if you have acute lead poisoning where you take a whole bunch of lead or get exposed to a lot at one time, those are, okay, we can start to understand that. People have abdominal pain, cramping, they can get nauseated. And if we have a high incidence of thinking about that, then we're going to do a lead test and we can actually treat those. The problems that we have are the patients that get low exposures over a long period of time. So they're either inhaling it over a period of time, so they're eating it over a period of time, they're putting it in their mouth, as children often do. Those are the ones that, as their brains are developing, are having the problems, and there's not a lot of symptoms until later on, to be honest with you.
And those symptoms we'll talk about in a moment. We'll talk about what you can do to keep your own kids, your own family safe, and what the people of Flint, Michigan have to do, because it appears you're going to be drinking bottled water for who knows how long and not able to do simple things like take a shower, take a bath. Think about all the different ways you use water every day. Well, in Flint, Michigan, all that changes. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, impact every day. What'd you do this weekend? Anything good?
No, really didn't do much of anything this weekend, which, you know, it's just waiting for the spring, you know, just kind of hanging out and trying to hit putts in the house because you can't hit balls.
Yeah, but you and I have been friends for a long time. You're not good at sitting around.
I'm not.
So what do? Do you just drive your family and friends nuts?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just checking. All right, just thought I'd ask. All right, we're talking about this lead problem in Flint, Michigan, and we're talking about your own family's exposure to lead. How big a deal is it in Chicago? And, well, the burbs and the surrounding area.
Yeah, so when we do the testing, we test it by state, and the state reports to the CDC. So we don't get it down to the county level, but we'll just put it in perspective. We used to use a level of 10 micrograms where we would get concerned. And in Illinois, about 1.2% of people, of children under the age of 5, tested positive there. CDC has now changed that and said, you know what, we're going to be a little bit more conservative because we know it can do damage when it's over the level of 5. So once we went to check to change to the level of 5, now in Illinois, 6% of those kids that were tested greater than 5 micrograms. So those are the kids that we really start to get concerned about. And if you look at other states, Ohio, states that you would expect, right? Ohio, 6%, Pennsylvania, 10%, Michigan, 5%. All of these industrialized, you know, kind of cities there is where we're seeing this. So now that we know that, now the big thing is that doctors need to follow up with those kids and the parents, because really there's nothing you're going to do once they've been exposed. Once they're exposed, any damage that has been done is irreversible.
That's so a now, scary sentence.
Yep. That is the scary part, because we're talking, not only is it the neurologic system, it's our bones, it's our kidneys, it's many bone marrow. Kids become anemic when they have lead toxicity as well.
So we can't reverse it, so the key has to be prevention.
Absolutely. That is the biggest thing right now is prevention. Stop those kids from getting exposed. And you can do simple things. You know, you can just look at all their toys, and if you have toys from foreign countries that you're not sure about that have paint on them, get rid of those toys. Buy toys made in the United States. They will not have lead paint in them. Look at any of the art sets that your kids might have and see where those are made as well, because paints from that are imported from other countries still have lead in them. Clean the house, especially if you live in a house that's old, older than the 70s, and you're going to do a rehab. Anytime you're ripping out drywall and kicking up dust, that has lead in it. So try to minimize that and keep that very clean. And jewelry, like I said, kids like to see shiny things. They put them in their mouth. Make sure it's not lead.
And again, your alarm bells here are just so similar to other things that could be wrong and so tough to narrow down. But abdominal pain, constipation, headaches, hearing loss, irritability, low appetite or energy. I mean, that could be anything.
Exactly. You know, you say those symptoms right there, Stephen. You're describing a normal teenager.
Right.
You know, so really, you do have to have that high level of suspicion. And are you living in an environment where there could be potential? And if there is, get the kid tested, because then it's going to make you start to look more closely at your home and work environment. We still use lead in many companies. So people that work in factories and that, if you're going to be working in a dusty environment where you know there's lead, do something with your clothes before you come in the house. You know, take those off, get them in a bag, wash them so you're not walking around the house kicking up lead dust as well.
So when we were kids, things like lead and mercury and all of these fine things, we didn't know.
No.
Asbestos.
Had no clue.
Yeah.
Think about us playing with the little mercury
asbestos.
Balls. It used to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ah, we're lucky to be alive.
Yep.
Kevin, to call on one, would you handle that off the air with Dr. Most before he hangs up?
Sure.
And one more thing before you go, Doc. Next Monday, we will be live in Iowa. And I'm wondering if you could address on that morning Trump sickness, because I'm sure I'm going to be sick of Trump at that point.
Wow. Yeah. So you guys are going out to Iowa, huh?
Yeah, we'll be there for the caucuses.
That's great. I'd rather do the live from the Egg Harbor than the live from Iowa, to be honest with you.
You're going to come out, aren't you, to Egg Harbor?
I may come by for breakfast. I hear Kevin's buying, so that's nice.
That's this Friday. The Allstate Hometown Voices Tour will be live at Egg Harbor. That's this Friday. We'll be live in downtown Naperville for the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour at Egg Harbor Cafe.
It's like the Cochran Caravan. Naperville,
yes.
Friday. Iowa, Monday, Tuesday.
Living a dream.
Yeah, we are.
Living a dream.
You have a big bus with your name on it?
Yeah, and tour jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of those things. Thank you, my friend. Northwestern Medicine, impact every day, and get healthy. Sounds like you're still fighting that cold.
I am. I'm kind of getting sick of it. I'm going to have to go see a doctor one of these days.
Push fluids.
You got it.
All right, goodbye. It's 6:56, back after this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Also next week in Iowa, Pat Brady will be hanging out with us. Pat Brady is... a political guru and part of our Thursday morning roundtable on politics. And we've got a bunch of stuff this week to do as well. And later you're going to help explain what the caucuses are and how they are different from a primary and stuff like that.
Yeah, we'll make it fun because there's quite a big difference for those who aren't familiar with caucuses.
Nothing like Des Moines in February for fun. Robert Gates' new book is called A Passion for Leadership, Lessons on Change and Reform from 50 Years of Public Service. You know, Gates looks good for an old guy. He does. You know, he's 72 years old.
He does look good. I wouldn't say that's old.
Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, author of Duty, amongst other things. Sir, can you hear me okay?
Thank you.
And
happy to be with you.
You look good for an old guy.
Well, thanks. I guess that's a backhanded compliment.
No, you really do. You look great. Your health is good, I assume?
It is. It is. I'm stuck here in Washington, D.C., looking at all the snow, but other than that.
Yeah, make somebody else shovel.
Yeah.
The new book, A Passion for Leadership, lays out over the course of your 50-plus years in public service what you've learned, mistakes made, successes had, and how others can benefit from it, right?
Absolutely. I got to the end of my career, and when I stepped down at Defense, I looked back and saw the number of institutions that I'd led and the changes that I had brought about and the reforms, and decided that the lessons I had learned working under eight presidents were probably worth passing along, because we have so many institutions at every level of government and even in the private sector that are underperforming or even broken. And a lot of people are just sort of resigned to the fact that it'll always be that way, whether it's Veterans Affairs or the Water Department in Flint, Michigan. And my position is that I've been there and done that, and you can change these organizations. You can fix them, and it's all about working with other people, listening, figuring out what's wrong, and then developing an action plan and implementing it.
Can you be the president of the United States, the most powerful job in the universe, and be leadership challenged?
I think you can, because it has to do with, you know, are you able to form the coalitions and reach out to other people in putting together a broad base of support for accomplishing things. And even in very polarized times, we have had presidents who have been able to do that. And, you know, this notion that it's sort of my way or the highway just doesn't work in American politics. And so the question is, in a polarized environment like this, can we elect a president who tones down the partisanship and reaches out across the aisle to the Congress and in the country as a whole, and basically talks about our common destiny and the fact that we're all in this together.
And we're just not hearing almost any of that. I want to get to that in a second, but first, in the course of reading your book, pardon me, a couple of things that really jumped out. Your Defense Department time included, and I respect your honesty, your Defense Department time included shaking up the budgets because, as I think you point out specifically, almost word for word in the book, nobody wastes money like the Defense Department. There's a story in here about a presidential helicopter, which is mind-boggling. Can you pick that up?
Well, I'm one of the 36 major procurement programs that I killed in 2009 was a new presidential helicopter, which was a case study in a procurement gone terribly wrong, and there were a lot of people responsible for it, from people on the White House staff to the Navy Department to the department, other parts of the Department of Defense, and the contractor. But we ended up, when it was all said and done, I went in to tell President Obama if he was prepared to fly in a helicopter that was going to cost $1 billion for a single helicopter.
$1 billion, one machine.
Exactly. And we were going to buy a half a dozen or 10 of them. And I said, you know, this thing's going to cost $1 billion. The good news is that it's got a galley in it, so you can cook up a meal in the middle of a nuclear war if you want to. Anyway, he allowed us how he didn't want to do that, and so supported me in cutting that program. But there were about three dozen like that I cut too.
Andrea, say hi to Secretary Gates.
Hi, Secretary Gates. You've fascinating career and life. You've served eight presidents. What do you think is one of the biggest threats to America today? I know there's so many out there: ISIS, Iran, North Korean nuclear weapons.
Yeah, and specifically in regards to the book, of these current crop, is anybody qualified to lead? Yeah.
Well, I think, in all honesty, I think the biggest threat to America's future today is found within the 2 square miles that encompass the Capitol building and the White House. Because if we can't figure out a way to begin to address some of our problems here in this country and move the country forward, there really is no single foreign threat that poses a greater threat to us than our own economic and political problems. And the failure, in the last 10 years, the Defense Department had an enacted appropriations bill just twice, and that was 9 and 10 years ago. And between continuing resolutions, government shutdown, sequestration, and all these other manifestations of failure, if we can't fix all that, there's none of these foreign threats that I think pose a comparable threat.
Talking to Robert M. Gates, former defense secretary, amongst your many, many jobs, a passion for leadership, lessons on change and reform from 50 years of public service. As always, get 2 copies. You're careless, you'll lose the first one. I'm a big fan of Spy Masters, a documentary running on Showtime. You ran the CIA for 1.5 years prior to President Clinton being elected. How do you balance leadership and secrecy as opposed to leadership and transparency?
Well, I think that transparency is very important if you want to lead change. And so while I couldn't go public with a lot of the changes that I was making at CIA and in the intelligence community at the end of the Cold War, I was able to be very transparent within the intelligence community and with the leaders of the other intelligence agencies and in effect make them my allies in reorienting the intelligence community to a different, very different kind of world. So sometimes you can be transparent with the public, but you can always be transparent with your own people, and as you go about making change, I argue in the book that transparency and inclusiveness are absolutely critical to long-term success.
I don't know how to ask you this last question without asking if you're endorsing anyone, and that's certainly not what I'm looking for. But we all want to know who is best equipped as a leader to handle this, the security of America. And I know you said it's like the old horror movie. We trace the call. They're in the House. Congress and others are our biggest threat. But is anybody on either side, Democrat or Republican, showing good leadership qualities in regards to protecting America?
Well, I will just say that I will just say that I think that of the entire panoply of people running, there are maybe 2 or 3 that I think have the leadership skills to be able to be potentially a successful president based on my experience. And no, I'm not going to say who they are.
I'm guessing they're not named Trump.
I'm not saying who they are.
Look, you can't fault me for trying. Come on, man.
Nope, not at all.
Robert M. Gates, I wish you well. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much.
A passion for leadership, lessons on change and reform from 50 years of public service, and the author of several books, including the book Duty, which was more of a memoir of Gates. He's seen it, and he's done most of it. And I agree with a lot of what he says, not all of what he says. But he came out very publicly a week or so ago and has sort of quieted those comments, talking about how Cruz and Trump in particular are clueless when it comes to defense. And carpet bombing civilians isn't going to accomplish anything. And advocating is, I've said several times here, committing war crimes and killing the wife and children of terrorists isn't going to accomplish anything either.
No. How about what he said, too? Basically, we're our biggest threat to ourselves.
We trace the call. They're in the House and in the Senate.
Oh, God.
Dan Hampton coming up. As a Bears fan, it may warm your heart this morning to know that the Packers might be infighting amongst management. Mike McCarthy, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, upset that they're not signing more free agents. I know it's not much, but it's something. Blackhawks win last night. Andrew Shaw swallowed 2 teeth and got 18 stitches on Friday night when he took a puck to the face against the Panthers.
Ow.
Yeah, exactly. I think he missed one shift, didn't he?
I believe so. Did you hear what he said?
No.
He still thinks his modeling career is intact.
He's looking good with the long hair, you got to say.
I love the little chihuahua.
Other stories we may not have time to get to in complete detail. And then you want to do the replay of the Hawks since I brought it up here?
Yeah, perfect.
All right, we'll get to that in a couple minutes here. Adele is not going to do the Oscars. Instead, she's going to focus on her world tour. It's nice when you have that kind of choice. World tour, Oscars, world tour, Oscars.
Oh.
Tough being her.
Did you hear Chris Rock, too? He had to turn in his monologue, his opening monologue, 2 weeks ago, and he just asked for it back and tore it up and rewrote it.
Of course.
Shocking. You knew that was going to happen.
Absolutely. And I think it's ridiculous that people are still asking him to boycott. The best case scenario for focusing on why it's not working and why the voting needs to be changed is not to roll out the anonymous president of the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences and other things. It's to roll out Chris Rock to do the monologue.
Absolutely.
Ooh, look at the white people. It's going to be that kind of an opening.
You know, I know it is, but I hope I know he's going to do it and he has a right to do it. But I hope he doesn't do it throughout the entire show, because all the people nominated are very deserving. There are people who weren't nominated who are deserving as well.
Don't
take away from
them. Yeah, I don't think he'll take somebody who wins an award and goes, well, you got that because you're white. But I do think he'll reference it several times.
You don't think he'll pull a Kanye and come out and whoever wins take
happening.
Their award and
nah,
say, this
I don't see that happening. No, I don't see that happening. One other hockey note, Alex Ovechkin was seen in whatever neighborhood he lives in outside of the District of Columbia. Getting gas to fill up a plow so he could plow neighbors' driveways. And I, of course, referred to Ovechkin for years as the dirty commie.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take that back because of the nice thing he did for the neighbors, but only for today.
Okay. And the next time they get 2 feet of snow there.
And somebody said, are you afraid of the blizzard? And he goes, we're not afraid. We're Russians.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this weekend was a nice day in Moscow.
Yes, it was.
The Russian kid.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
7:41 in the morning, and this is sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. By the way, before we go to Hamp, congratulations to Jason Duffner. Jason Duffner's first win since his divorce. I think that's a hurdle you have to cross, Dave.
Might be.
Yeah.
Seems.
When there's rumors that your ex-wife has slept with all of the PGA Tour, it's good to get another win under your belt.
I would think so.
So. Yeah. All right. At 7:41, is Hamp ready? Okay. Brought to you by your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy dealers. Good morning, Hamp.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, man, what a crazy turn of events in Denver. But, man, all I can say is, you know what Peyton Manning's thinking right now?
What's he
thinking? Chico's going to kick my butt.
You know what? He had to feel so good about escaping. And by the way, that's 70% defense, 30% offense in that Denver win. And, well, I should say 70, 20, 10% stupid, because I'm all over Belichick this morning, Hemp. You got to kick a field goal on one of those fourth down plays.
Yeah, and, you know, same thing we went through with John Fox in the game with Denver. Remember, we had the ball down inside the 10 with 10 minutes to go, and we go forward on fourth down, get no points. We wound up losing by, I think, two. So, you know, in hindsight, yeah, it's a lot different. But you know and I know, you start buying into the Tom Brady myth, and you keep thinking, oh, this guy's going to pull it out. And he almost did, and... You know, I kept thinking, the moment the kicker missed the extra point, I kept saying to myself, that's going to change the entire game. And it did. The whole game was played differently because the kicker misses an extra point in the first quarter.
Yeah, but you hate kickers. So how can you even judge?
Well, and again, when that happens, I hate to say it, but it's almost like the defining play of the game. Everything has changed now, and you know it would come out, you know, in the wash at the end. Hey, you know, it's it's, you know, a two-point conversion and go to overtime or, you know, bust. And they weren't able to get it done.
So, let me tell you something. If they get that two-point conversion, there's no way the Patriots don't win in overtime. I don't care who gets the ball first, it's over.
You know, the Patriot defense had made some adjustments, and they, you know, Denver was on fumes in the fourth quarter. They couldn't even get out of their own way, and they couldn't stop the Patriots. The Patriots were going up and down the field. So you're exactly right. But the defining play that basically affected that game more than any other was an extra point that was missed. It's unbelievable.
You know, I don't really have a problem with, I mean, when inside of 2 minutes they went for it on fourth down, the pass broken up in the end zone. I don't have a problem with that one. But with 6 minutes to go and that fourth and one, that's the one I thought was odd. Because at that point, kick the field goal. You have plenty of time. You have three timeouts left. Why would you not? And Denver was struggling on offense. Why would you not do that? Plus, getting a yard against that defense is not that easy to do.
As they proved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't like the play calling. You know, Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, and I was, you know, I was in my little group I watched the game with. I kept, you know, saying, and this guy thinks he's going to be a head coach again? You know, it was a horrible game plan on both sides of the ball. Hey, you got to give Denver a lot of credit. They outplayed the Patriots. They outcoached the Patriots for three quarters. And again, like I said, that was a game. I think it was something like 75% nationwide. The wagers won New England, and you know everybody on Pro Football Weekly, you know, in the two games, New England was our overwhelming pick as a lock. So I mean, you just got to tip the cap. And I've never been a great Peyton Manning fan, but you've got to say, wow, you know, to go through the season he's had, and you, Steve, you're exactly right. It was 75% defense, but for him to hang on and make enough, you know, plays to score 20 and it hold up. I mean, you know, again, it's an amazing, I hate to say Cinderella story, but it's not going to be quite so easy in the Super Bowl against that Carolina defense.
And we'll talk about that Carolina defense, that Carolina offense, and really a much more well-rounded team, which is why the Panthers are an early favorite here. But you got 2 weeks for Denver's defense to you know, lick their wounds a little bit, a few bruises and bumps here and there, see if they can get healthy. And you got 2 weeks for Peyton Manning, who may not have the athletic skills, but is still a hell of a smart quarterback. I don't know, man. It's setting up as a great Super Bowl.
And what's he thinking? What's Peyton Manning thinking?
Chico's going to kick my butt.
We share a lot, actually. We've talked a lot about, you know, about what the goal is. You know, we talk about what the vision is and the direction we're heading with this vision. And, you know, we're a step away. You know, we're going to play a very good football team. We watched them play today, and they played tremendous.
Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, Hall of Famer Dan Hampton is with us, as he is each and every Monday and Friday during football season. Of course, he's welcome here any other time. You know, one of the cool things that came out during the game was this notion that Ron Rivera has become a mentee, if you will, to John Madden, that the coach, John Madden, has been helping Rivera figure it out and get it going. And I think that's a cool story.
It's a fantastic story. And I got to tell you, you know, I don't think there's any question that, you know, John Madden, for a guy that was, you know, an NFL coach and then turned broadcaster, he's had an amazing effect on the league. And, of course, you know, the Madden games and all that kind of created this. But John Madden, I mean, there was something about the guy. He was special. And in my time that I was able to see, and I think I've told you many times, you know, if I see him at the Hall of Fame or someplace, he always shakes his head and said, that was the greatest team he ever saw, that kind of thing. I mean, John Madden, I am so proud that he has kind of taken Chico under his wing, and it's really cool because, you know, John Madden has, he's been, the burning bush of pro football for 40 years. and how cool is that to be able you know, to query and strategize and bounce ideas off of a guy like that. He's special. But you know, hey, you can't take anything away from Ron Rivera. This is an amazing moment. And I know this is kind of weird, but tomorrow night is the actual 30-year anniversary of, you know, us winning our Super Bowl, and right. We're all going to be together over at Soldier Field. Ram Chada is putting on a big party, and we're you know, I guess 40 plus guys are coming in. Blah blah blah. How cool is that? That 30 years later, Ron Rivera will not be there tomorrow night, but in spirit, you know, he was big part of our team 30 years ago, and now he's going to his own Super Bowl. So there's some really cool linkage there.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool for everybody that doubted this team all year long and said, wow, did you see their Powder Puff Girls schedule? Well, let me tell you something. Arizona Cardinals, they deserved to be there yesterday. They were great going into that game, and they were dominated. Dominated. That game wasn't close from kickoff.
That was the number one offense in all of football. You know, I know. We saw them in color right here, second week of the season, when they took the top off of our defense. So you're exactly right. And I don't know if you kind of put this together, but do you know that this could be the John Fox revisited bowl? Both of these teams were where he was once a head coach. Now, I don't know what that says about where he is now in Chicago, but you know, Carolina and Denver, two places where he was for a while. They're going to be in the big one.
How do you explain the performance by Carson Palmer? I mean, how much of that was Carolina's defense?
Okay, now you know Carolina. That's not a one hit wonder. They led the league in turnovers. They you know, they didn't. Denver led in sacks. And Carolina led in turnovers. So those are the two defenses you'll see in the Super Bowl. So there's a reason why week in, week out, we always talk about, you know, how important that is. But it's all about pressure. And Carson Palmer, who he had an amazing year. If Cam Newton didn't play the way he did this year, Carson Palmer would have been MVP. So, you know, that being said, how do you take a quarterback that had a great year like that and make him look foolish and make him look like a turnover machine, make him look Henry Burris bad in a championship game? Well, it's pressure. And I got to tell you, I mean, Carolina was relentless, not only in the front four, but they were blitzing, you know. Thomas Davis is a big loss. He broke his arm. But
He says he's going to play, though. They
had Arizona's number, and they knew what they needed to do. And that's something we always talk about. You know, you pressure quarterbacks, and this is what Denver's going to try to do against Cam Newton. Their only salvation is, you know, be able to get pressure on him and get him on the ground, because we saw yesterday, if you don't get him within 2.5-3 seconds, he will find somebody, and he will make you pay a price.
It's that defense and Cam Newton's offense that it's just hard to imagine Denver being able to pull that off. And I don't know. Look, there's no way they should have won that game yesterday. I'm excited about this Super Bowl lineup. I think we have a very good game.
Well, there's a lot of really cool storylines. You know, with could this be the grand finale? You know, we all remember, what was it, 10, 12 years ago, John Elway. You know, he won his second Super Bowl and said, "That's it, I'm gone." And you know, nobody would blame Peyton Manning if indeed it was his final game and they find some way to win. But I got to tell you, this game opened at 3.5. Now it's at almost to 5. The public, you know, the last thing we saw yesterday was the Carolina Panthers mopping up the Arizona Cardinals. So that's what everybody remembers. Everybody's going to think that. And, you know, Denver's a really, really sound football team. Come on. You know, this Carolina Panther, they are for real. You know, who was the guy screaming, "I'm for real, I'm for real"? That's what they've been doing all year. They're saying we're for real, and they're proving it week after week. And I got to tell you, you know, they're really good up the middle. They're two defensive tackles. They're middle linebacker on offense. You know, Cam, the John Stewart, the running backs. He's better than you think he is. I'm just saying, This is a team that I don't know how you could go under the radar at 15-1, but they flew under the radar, and now we're just kind of getting a glimpse of how good they really are.
By the way, you mentioned Thomas Davis, the linebacker for Carolina, broke his arm yesterday. He says he's going to play in the Super Bowl.
Good for him. He can pull it off. We'll get it figured out. This is a guy that had three ACLs, right?
Yeah, he's had three ACLs.
So what's a little broken arm?
Yeah, right.
Nothing. By the way, buddy, I hate to do this to you, but the Elway Super Bowl was 17 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
That's the kind of thing that happens to me all the time where I go, wasn't that 2 weeks ago? No, it was 10 years ago. Unbelievable. And congratulations to your Chicago Bears and happy anniversary. Hope you guys have a great party.
Oh, it'll be great. But like I said, the icing on the cake is one of our brothers is going back to the Super Bowl.
Pretty great. Awesome. Very cool story.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
We'll get to Dean in just a second with a bunch of stuff to talk about, as always. But before that, one of Dean's new best friends, Rachel Bloom, crazy ex-girlfriend, Andre and I talked to her on Friday. She's a Golden Globe winner and started talking to her about how happy she was in the speech. And I thought she did just a beautiful, joyous, cool speech.
I guess I can't picture a world in which you wouldn't be joyful, but I've worked a lot on my anxiety, so that might be, you know, a product of working through some things. But I felt kind of nothing but joy.
It was cool. It was very cool. Who's the first person you called afterwards?
You know, the two most important people in my life were there with me, my co-creator of the show and my husband. So I think I eventually did call my parents.
Mom and Dad have anything specifically to say to you?
No, they just said they're very proud of me, and my parents were screaming.
That's cool.
Rachel,
really sweet.
We are so proud of you. Rachel, you're so down to earth, and you're so much fun. Your show's great. Do you write anything out ahead of time, knowing that you're nominated?
Well, and one of the reasons Andrea is asking is because on the show, I write acceptance speeches, and I'm not in any of the awards at all.
All the time, Rachel.
Yeah, actually, when I made my speech, I don't know if anyone noticed, but I had a speech in my hand. And basically, the second I got up there...
You forgot it.
Well, no, I didn't. I had a whole, like, joke prepared, and then I kind of decided to, like, say, screw it. And I said something else, which is how I opened my speech. And then by the time I would have gotten to what the speech said, I was running out of time. But because I'd written out the speech and practiced some of the speech, I kind of knew the names I was going to say. So I didn't need to look at it. And then at the Critics' Choice Awards, I had a piece of paper. If I went up there with, like, nothing, I think that would be really scary.
Who's the biggest star at an after party that kissed your butt?
Well, I'll tell you the biggest star at an after party. He didn't kiss my butt, but I accosted Larry David. but he certainly did not kiss my butt.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's back with new episodes Monday night on the CW at 7 o'clock Chicago time. Here at the home of the CW, at the Tribune Tower. But, Rachel, you know, the obvious questions here just jump off the page and stuff like, are you a crazy ex-girlfriend?
Sure. Well, I think we all are. I think love makes us all crazy, and that's what we're exploring in the show is this idea of love taking us over and how, like, we tell people, oh, love is the answer, love is the most wonderful thing in the world. But is it? Love is, you know, the way you talk about it, the way it's talked about in romantic comedies, love is obsession, and it's like the kind of will they or won't they, and it's these really messed up games. And so I think at a certain point, love has made us all crazy because that's what it's biologically supposed to do.
You know what? Well said. If it doesn't make you crazy, you may not actually be in love.
I like that. Wait, I got to write that down.
Exactly. I mean, that's literally, it takes over our brains. It's similar. The effect of love on our brains is similar to, I think, both OCD and cocaine. It just floods us with these chemicals.
And remind people where you started, because in this wacky world of new media, everything's possible.
Sure. Well, I started on YouTube, and that's how I actually got this show. I was doing music videos on YouTube that I was very proud of, and my co-creator, Aline Brosh McKenna, who's a very successful screenwriter, she wrote The Devil Wears Prada and 27 Dresses. She's one of the top screenwriters in Hollywood. She saw one of my music videos and checked out all my stuff, and then the next thing I know, I get an email saying that she wanted to meet with me to discuss creating a musical television show.
How cool is that? By the way, it's at Rachel Does Stuff all over social media. Got about 60 seconds here, Andrea. Last question for you.
Well, I have to say, you know, I'm again, it's very cool. You're an actress. You're a songwriter. I have to give shout-outs to your albums, too. Please Love Me and Suck at Christmas.
Yes,
two vastly
thank
different.
Thank you. Please Love Me and Suck at Christmas. And I also want to give a shout-out. The first 8 episodes right now are streaming for free on CW.com and Hulu, so you can binge watch the show for absolutely free right now.
It's Rachel Bloom. You get the full interview where, Kev?
WGNRadio.com. Can hear the full interview.
There you go. So check that out there, and we'll come back with Dean in just a second. In addition to that, a bunch of crazy stories coming up, including some wild video, which you may have seen, of a little kid running down the highway towards a cop car. Kid can't be more than 3 or 4 years old. Middle of the, like at night. Just out for a run. He's okay, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what that should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Dean Richards, sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. Good morning, my friend.
Isn't that Rachel Bloom delightful?
She's a delight. She's just a delight.
Absolutely delightful.
You know what we ought to do is a text question. What's the craziest thing you've done to an ex? And by the way, criminal activity is not welcome here. We're talking about things where you go,
you can text those to me, though.
Send those to Dean. What's wrong with me? When you had a thing where you look back and go, oh, that was embarrassing.
Yeah,
what's the craziest ex thing that you ever did? 312-981-7200. We have prizes to give away.
This TV show is just, it's so funny.
Part musical.
And it's part musical at the same time. Really clever. New episodes starting tonight at 7 o'clock on WGN TV, by the way.
I boiled your bunny. Yes, I did. I boiled your bunny.
Followed by new episodes of Jane the Virgin, Steve, at 8.
Well, she's great, too, right?
WGN TV, yeah. Also a Golden Globe winner.
What is her name again?
The both of them. Gina Rodriguez.
Yeah. Delightful. Yep. That's all. All right. Hairspray. You saw it?
A brand new production, Hairspray the Musical, out at the Paramount in Aurora last night. Absolutely delightful.
Oh, good.
You know, this Paramount Theater in Aurora, they won the Jeff Award, the top Chicago Theater Award for Best Musical last year. And this is just another example of the great work that they do. Attention to detail, big, bold production numbers. This is the musical that's based on the Broadway show that was based on the John Waters movie from the late 80s about, you know, this plus-size Tracy Turnblad teenager just wants to be on the Corny Collins dance show. But when, you know, she gets there, she runs into these, you know, Barbie doll images of what young girls are supposed to look like back in that era, and very much so the same today, and runs into the problem of separation of the races. Also a problem you may have noticed still going on today. So, I mean, there's some social issues that are dealt with this. But this is just a raucously fun 50s, 60s dance show. Great performances throughout the show. The young lady that is Tracy Turnblad, she is a young actress named Amelia Jo Parrish, is so good. Michael Kingston plays her mom, the Harvey Fierstein Divine role. In Hairspray, and the great Ife Butler. So great. Really, really great cast. Can't recommend this one enough for you. It's out at the Paramount in Aurora through February 21st.
Speaking of live performances, Springsteen did something pretty cool over the weekend because of the snowstorm, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to play at Madison Square Garden last night. Same, you know, basically the same show that he did at the United Center here for us last week. But because of the snowstorm there, the show was canceled. Felt terrible for all of his New York and New Jersey fans. So he is making free audio downloads of the Chicago show. So if you were at the Chicago show, you know, if you weren't able to go, whatever, you can download the Springsteen show for free on his website.
a prepared broadcaster would have that ready to go right now.
I'm going
to
go with BruceSpringsteen.com. It's probably a pretty good bet. Maybe TheBoss.com. I don't know. Kev, check that out.
It's similar to that. I have it right here, as a matter of fact. It is live.BruceSpringsteen.net.
Live.BruceSpringsteen.net.
Free downloads of the Chicago show, but it's only available for 2 days. So if you're going to do it right away.
Okay. The Producers Guild Awards, is this another mirror to the Oscars?
Yeah, it's maybe the most accurate mirror to the Oscars. They have correctly picked the best picture as their best picture of the year for the last 8 Oscar winners.
Wow, okay.
Nobody has a record like this. These are producers choosing productions of shows, so they have a pretty good eye for all of this. And the movie that won over the weekend was The Big Short, interestingly enough. So they picked that as their best picture. We'll see if that follows through and goes on to be the best picture nominee. It's the least of the worries of the Oscar people right now, the diversity issue. They tried to make some changes. They did make some changes over the weekend, whether they'll be effective or not, because the Academy has acknowledged that their voting system is flawed. Artist after artist, the latest, Matt Damon, he called the voting process right now shameful and embarrassing, and said that these new rules are a good first step. But over the weekend, the Academy changed the manner in which that you get into the Academy. I told you that the Academy, it's about 6,000 people. It's 94% white. It is 77% male. Average age is 63. So they're trying to get more women in the Academy, more people of color in the Academy. It used to be that when you were in the Academy, you were in there for life, whether you were working in the industry or not. So, in other words, somebody who, you know, made a picture in 1930, who, you know, was in the Academy and hasn't worked a day, you know, since then,
right,
is still in the Academy and voting. So, what they're trying to do is you have to prove that you are a working professional in the industry. That's going to be a part of the process and the change. It'll open up a lot of new opportunities for lots of different
voices. It's the right way to go.
And faces. It's one of the ways that they're addressing this whole thing.
I thought you put it best last week. It may have been with me or may have been on TV, but you said, you know, the chance of a 70-year-old white guy being interested in seeing Straight out of Compton just in the real world, yeah, is just not that good.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's racist. It's just, you know,
it's not his kind of movie.
My mother's not going to watch, Straight out. Well, my mother would watch Straight out of Compton.
Right, because of her gang affiliation.
Oh, am I kidding?
Dave watched it over the weekend.
Dave actually did. Yeah. It's a true story, Dean. Dave and I were talking about movies we saw this weekend, and I'm catching up for the SAG voting. He was watching Straight out of Compton at the exact same time I was watching The Danish Girl.
Dean, please help me.
Wow, you're in the middle of a weird sandwich there, Andrea.
I don't know who to comfort first.
Careful, you keep this up, Dean will start cursing. You know how he can go off. As a matter of fact, I called Dean's show yesterday because
he did a drive-by on my show.
On the Sunday show.
Because every Sunday morning from 9 to 1.
I listen every Sunday, and I heard Dean talking about it, and I just wanted to set the record straight because we only played part of the tape. You know, we played part of the tape of what happened. This goes back to last week. Dean very innocently described the Windy City, lickety-splickety, whatever the hell that thing's called. Lake Shake. The Windy City Lake Shake.
I get scared every time I even begin to say the name
of the festival. Well, that's why I'm doing it for you.
Festival now.
You described the Windy
City as the...
You know, you said something wrong with
this Windy...
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Now, that's just part of the tape. I believe we have the full Zapruder film of it as well. Roll it.
That means that the studios are so film they don't want to appear to be bragging by letting the
What's a possible alternative meaning? I mean, it just went off. Oh.
It went
off like
one,
the 4th
right?
of July.
It was a long one. It was bad.
That
is it possible?
The studios, you know, they're very humble. The studio is very humble. They don't like to brag. They don't like to over.
Just crazed. Never heard anything like it.
I had never thought of that.
At one point, it made my eyes water.
I'm sure it did.
I need to go back to this anger management classes. You son of a what?
tell you what, it's a great way to get Larry Potash in order over there at Channel 9 on Cross Dean Richards. Thank you, buddy.
See you later.
Talk to you later. 8:28, big story coming up. And also a special Adam Hogue appearance this morning, as Adam will talk about... the upcoming Super Bowl and what we saw yesterday. 720 WGN.
It's not really time to reflect. We have 2 weeks to play. We're going to play a team that we are completely unfamiliar with. There's going to be a lot of film to study. So I think, once again, just trying to kind of stay in the moment.
WGN's Peyton Manning, of course, and joining me on the phone now is Adam Hoge, WGN football insider. He actually does most of his reports from inside a hollowed-out football.
I know. It's a little cramped.
He's an actual football insider. Adam, how are you?
Good. And the football is properly inflated, though, so there's no issues there.
There's a scene in The Revenant where does this spoil it? No, it doesn't spoil it for people. Where Leonardo DiCaprio is inside a bear.
Okay.
Oh, it's a horse? I don't know. I turned away.
He's trying to stay warm is what it
is. Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. And I would rather think of you inside a football than that scene ever again. I couldn't watch the rest of the movie. That doesn't make me a wimp, does it, Adam?
No. Although I don't know that I want to live inside a football.
This is a weird conversation.
It's the only way you can have the knowledge that you have, man. All right, so we had a great game and a complete blowout. Which one did you enjoy more?
The first game.
Yeah.
Which I was actually looking forward to the second game. I felt like I was on an island with that one because I was just kind of sick and tired of the whole Brady Manning thing. I was looking forward to seeing the Panthers and the Cardinals. I thought they've been clearly the two best teams in the NFC. I thought it would be a close game, and it obviously wasn't. I did think the Panthers would win, and you have to be impressed with how they played so far in their two playoff games. I know Seattle kind of came back last week, but the way they started against Seattle last week and the way they started against the Cardinals this week, I mean, they have to be the favorite going into the Super Bowl.
I would totally agree, and I think they are, Dave. Aren't they 3 or 4 points?
They are 4-point favorites, yes.
And the game should have gone exactly as Adam just said, exactly the opposite that they should have. That they actually went.
I think Friday morning I predicted a 27-21 overtime victory for Carolina.
Yeah, I think we all predicted close games in the second game and a blowout in the first game. Mm-hmm. So Hamp and I disagree on this, Adam. Dave, I think you're more in line to where I am as well. Belichick's got to kick a field goal on one of those fourth downs. And regardless of the missed extra point in the first quarter, you got three quarters of the game left to fix that problem. And it can't come down to a fourth down where you're going for it because you've got one of the greatest kickers in the NFL and arguably in NFL history who's going to make that kick for you just to prove that he's that good. And now you're in a different game. How does he not kick on any of those fourth downs?
I totally agree with you, and especially the first one. This was the exact same situation John Fox was in against the Broncos this year. The Bears were down 8. I think there was like 10 minutes left. And remember, they were down towards the goal line. He went for it instead of kicking the field goal. And that ended up that kept them down 8. So then later in the quarter, they got down there. They ended up scoring the touchdown, but they had to go for 2, and they didn't get it. So then they didn't get to go to overtime. I kicked that field goal there with all that time left because you need to go for 2 anyway. It's the being down 8 part that makes me absolutely kick that field goal because, okay, now you're only down 5. That means all you have to do is get in the end zone and you are in the lead. And so and as we saw this thing play out yesterday, it also gives you more options because you kick the first field goal, make it, well, then maybe you feel better about taking the second field goal. Because now you're only down 2. And as it played out, you don't know what. I mean, things always play out differently based on the different situations. But the Patriots ended up getting the ball back. And they could have been down 2 in that situation. They might not necessarily been at the 50-yard line like they ended up being. But either way, whether you're at the 20 or the 50, you only have to get in the field goal range now. The entire situation is different. So I totally agree with you. Kick the field goal. Take the point. When you have the opportunity, I think they're just scared of the Broncos defense, and it is a good defense. But this is now twice this season where teams have chosen not to kick the field goal against the Broncos, and in both times, the Broncos ended up winning the football game.
And Patriots fans are killing Belichick on Twitter.
Well, they are. And by the way, Belichick has been on record in the past as saying that he's got confidence in Gostkowski from 60 yards.
Right.
So now here's another scenario. As I was watching the way it unfolded at the end, And were you a little surprised, Adam? And I know that one of the Patriot players came up and made a play on Bradley Roby, who had the interception of the two-point play and knocked the ball away. But it didn't look like they – and normally in that situation, you're like telling a guy to slide an interception in the end zone, whatever. But on a two-point play, Roby could have taken it the other way for two for Denver, and that would have essentially nullified any chance of losing on a field goal had New England been able to recover an onside kick. I haven't heard this talk. I mean, it was a weird deal, but that could have been the play that sealed it. As it turns out, the onside kick was bad and they didn't have a chance, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, the only downside to him running with the ball there would
get hurt.
Well, you get hurt. But not only, I guess there's some crazy miraculous scenario where after he fumbled the football, which he ended up doing, the Patriots pick it up and run it back into the end zone. Not likely to happen. Would have been one of the greatest plays in NFL history, and maybe probably right up there with the Immaculate Reception, right? So not likely to happen. And like you said, starting this year, they changed this rule. He can return that back for 2 points, so that would have helped them.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. All right, let's see traffic, and then let's talk about these Carolina Panthers and the Super Bowl 2 weeks from yesterday. But we're all on pins and needles about the Pro Bowl coming up this weekend, aren't we?
Pro Bowl? Adam's been lobbying to go cover it for us, and we keep saying, you know what, it's maybe not.
No, it is in Hawaii still, isn't it?
Yeah, it's back in Hawaii.
Right.
They moved it for a year or so.
Right. All right, 8:46, Mary's here. Traffic trouble spots are what right now? Back with Adam Hogue, our football insider. Can anybody, Adam, question Carolina's right to be there after taking apart Arizona the way they did, regardless of their strength of schedule during the regular season?
No way. And you win 15 games, I don't care who you're playing. I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know what their odds were to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season?
No, that's a good question. What were they?
60-1.
How about that?
There were only nine other teams that were bigger long shots. So this is, if you go back to August, it's certainly a surprise. But the way they've played this entire season, I mean, I really think they're the best team.
What's the feel on Peyton Manning's shoulder and ability to throw the football?
Well, I don't have very much confidence in him. The quarterback matchup in that game was very interesting because Brady was just bad. And I think that's a storyline that needs to be brought up, too, because Tom Brady was just not on point yesterday. And he admitted after the game that he felt like he was reading the Broncos' pass rush incorrectly, and that contributed to how much he was running around for his life. But Peyton Manning, he had some big misses. He missed at least one touchdown in the end zone, maybe two, depending on how you look at it. But he was, good enough. And I still think, and we've talked about this in the last few weeks, I still think he's the right guy out there just because of his experience, and he's going to be making the right calls at the line of scrimmage. And so he's certainly limited and at times looks bad, and some of those footballs don't look too pretty when they're in the air. But I think that he's still the right guy out there. But Cam Newton has the edge, right? If you're going to compare the quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, I'd go Cam Newton right now.
Yeah, it's hard not to, but I still think if you give Peyton Manning 2 weeks to game plan it, even against this defense, this Luke Kuechly kid is unbelievable.
He really
isn't
is.
He?
Yeah.
But, it'd almost be more fun just to watch the Denver defense and the Carolina defense, just see how they could beat up each other. But, you'd look at Carolina, it's a much more well-rounded team because you don't know how strong Peyton Manning is going to be. I hope it's not a blowout. I want a close game.
I think it'll be closer. I don't think the Broncos' defense will allow the Panthers to jump out to a start like they have in the last two games, although I probably would have said that about the Cardinals' defense, too. Kuechly reminds me a lot of Brian Urlacher, the way he plays and roams the middle of that defense. And with Ron Rivera in charge, it's a pretty similar defense to what the Bears did in the Urlacher era. And he's just a very impressive guy to watch. It'll be interesting to watch Thomas Davis the next 2 weeks because he's been a very good linebacker for them, too, next to Kuechly, and he broke his arm yesterday. And he vowed he was still going to play in the Super Bowl with a broken arm.
Apparently, he had surgery this morning. So he's
out?
Well,
he's still going to try to play.
That's unclear. He had the surgery as soon as he could and hopes he can come back and play.
Three ACLs, and he's playing? The broken arm's not going to stop him.
Yeah, right.
They just put it in the club.
Tape an aspirin on it. Go.
Yeah, wrap it up and let him go. What are you watching for in the next 2 weeks? It'll be a telltale sign one way or the other.
How about this? I just hope that it's not as crazy of a Super Bowl week as last year when all we were talking about was Deflategate and Marshawn Lynch talking to the media.
Point. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what? I think, though, Thomas Davis will be a big one in terms of injuries. And, you know, how about the local angle, too? There's a lot of local flavor in Chicago for the Carolina Panthers. You got Ron Rivera. You got, even though he's not going to play, Charles Tillman trying to get his first Super Bowl ring. And, you know, he'll be front and center out there in San Francisco. Greg Olsen, of course, too, the former Bear. And and even Jared Allen, if you want to throw in his short Bears career.
You know what I think is going to be a story? I think... And for whatever reason, Cam Newton is a polarizing figure. The guy I think is a lot of fun to watch. I love his enthusiasm. I love the way maybe he's over the top at some of his celebrations, but I think the way that he was celebrating some of those moments with the fans
is
pretty cool.
I love when they give the ball to the little kids.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
Yeah.
And yet he gets ripped for doing that. But I think there's going to be a lot of attention. I mean, there's always attention on the quarterbacks, and people will be contrasting Peyton Manning and Cam Newton from a personality standpoint. Here's the distinguished elder statesman on one side, and then this brash
young
guy
kid
on the other side.
No question. And it drives me nuts how people just let the guy have fun.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, and it's not just him. It's across the league. I don't know if it's sort of the way the league attacks his stuff.
It's the NFL, right? The no fun league. That started years ago.
Right. And then I guess it carries over to the fans, but I don't let the guy have fun. I enjoy watching Cam Newton play. And I also think that he is unfairly still criticized for some of his mistakes that he made when he was a young kid.
Which he's owned up to.
Right. And you know what? There's so many kids that in college, people forget, and even when we're watching college football sometimes, how young these guys are. And they're immature, and they're going to make mistakes from time to time. To me, it's how, once you get to the league, how do you handle yourself then? And if you're Johnny Manziel and you're still acting like a clown, then you deserve to be killed. But Cam Newton has gotten his life in order. He's been a model pro. He's someone that kids should be looking up to now, and I think they are.
Top of the game. He's earned a little celebration. You know who I get tired of? Are guys who are down by four touchdowns, who have a conditional sack, and then start pounding their chest, waiting for the cheers to rain down on them. Get back in the huddle, you clown.
Yeah, time and situation is a lot of it. You're right.
You should see me after a good show. I pound my chest. I go out and I go, let's go. I go out on Michigan Avenue. I start pounding my chest, and people go, what's wrong with that guy? Cross the street. Avoid him. What are you writing about?
I'll be writing. Actually, my second Bears offseason notebook will be coming out tomorrow morning. So you'll have that on WGNRadio.com/Bears. So plenty of Bears content there. And then I'm going to Mobile, Alabama in the morning for the Senior Bowl, where I can stock up on NFL draft information for the next 4 months. And so you'll be seeing some draft stuff on the website, too, this week.
Adam Hogue, where do we find your writings?
It's WGNRadio.com/Bears.
If your child ain't all he should be now, this girl can put him right. I'll show him what he could be.
It's a Who, the Acid Queen. It's a song way ahead of its time. It was about acid reflux. A lot of people don't know that.
Are you sure about that?
Well, I mean, I think. Coach Q would know. Coach Q is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. The show was originally beginning called Pepsi AC. Wasn't that right, Coach?
Yeah, you're right on the right line there. Yeah, you're thinking the right way there. Absolutely. I don't even know if that stuff was invented back then.
I don't think so. That's what the drugs were for, to make you forget about your heartburn. All right, so look, here's the thing. Florida, a couple of rough nights, but right back on it last night. And Corey Crawford. Corey Crawford is the Carolina Panthers of the NHL. What does he have to do to get more respect? Come on. He's standing on his head. Was that seven shutouts?
Very good comparison. Yeah, he's had seven this year, and a lot of them were his own making. He played very well, and you know, he's just gone on a great run here this year. He's got off to a good start. Now he's playing great. Just like how he just keeps getting better on the job, and you know, his approach has been great, consistently on top of things, plays more minutes than most goalies do, and you know, he's ready for the next game and really done a good job for us.
So there was a story that came out about Andrew Shaw from the Florida games, and I think it was Friday night against the Panthers. He gets a puck in the face. He loses a couple of teeth. He gets 10 stitches. Did he even miss a shift?
Yeah, I think he missed probably, you know, as long as Doc took him to sew him up that period, and he got right back out there to finish the period. Yeah, pretty remarkable. I mean, that puck was, I mean, not that far away from him, and he wasn't even looking at him, right in the yap, as he says. And, you know, and they went in there for repairs, and, you know, he was back in action there before you know it.
You know, with all the hockey.
Stepped on the ice, and 2 seconds later got scored on, got a minus. But it wasn't those things can happen. It could have gone any other way. But last night he scored, and wore a little bit of protection around his jaw area, but he was in a lot of pain the last couple of days off of that one.
I'm guessing. And with all the hockey I watch, I'm thinking, I haven't seen that very often. How do we not get more pucks into the bench?
Oh, we do. As coaches, we got to, in practice, you got to watch pucks flying. During games, you got to watch puck flying. They're very dangerous. I got sliced one time very badly. Players got to watch it. Seen multiple guys get hit in the head or, you know, off the arm or right in the neck. It's a... the pucks are flying there, so it's a dangerous spot to be if you're not watching or paying attention.
Didn't you get hit by a puck during a game like a couple years ago?
A little while ago, I was coaching St. Louis. It was against Chicago. Yeah, right in the noggin there. Nobody knew where it went except at the end of it. One of the players saw it coming. Didn't say a word. Just watch it hit me right in the head. They got a great an entertainment and a great amusement after seeing that one.
Well, I'm sure you enjoyed the Blues loss even more last night when you flash back to that moment. The Hawks win and another shutout last night. When you were when you're behind the bench and Shaw goes off the ice, does that information get communicated to you in specifics, or are you just told he's ready to come back in? Because if I'm you, I don't want to know that he swallowed two of his own teeth.
I found that out after two, but it's in the middle of it, you know, he took a pretty good puck there, and it was like, okay, there's only a few minutes left in the period, and I just hollered down the bench, is Shazzy coming back? And, you know, next thing you know, here's Shazzy back on the bench. Sometimes you know you're not going to see him for the rest of the period. Sometimes you hope they come back. Gap or our trainer will usually give me an update right away on what happened and what to expect, and then some follow-up once they do get looked at by the doctor if it's that severe.
Another highlight reel type goal last night from Kane and Panarin. And when you see this, Joel, are you at a point where it's just kind of you've come to expect it, and you're obviously focused on what's going to happen next in the game? But do you ever kind of allow yourself to say, "Wow, that was pretty incredible"?
They do some amazing things. They can wow you individually, wow you collectively, wow you. The line has been very impressive as well. Already scored some nice goals in his own right, taking the puck to the net. So they really got some nice chemistry amongst the three of them. The two of them really are pretty special players as far as their ability to make plays that you don't see very often in the league. And then you got the finishing of a great play. So they're, last night was another great play where there's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of time. People are focusing on them and they're trying to eliminate them prior to getting the puck. So they're, they've been doing some great things this year, and last night's another goal that was a big goal in a game that looked like whoever scored first is going to have a good chance of winning the game. And But a good finish on a great little play. Started in our own end. We already made a good play. Rosie makes another play following it up. And those guys touch the puck. Good things can happen.
One other note on the game the other night where you pulled your goaltender with, I think, was it 8 minutes to go?
Something like that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, we saw this. I remember a game last year against Colorado. They've done it. Is this something that was just kind of a one-time thing, or hopefully you're not in that situation very often?
Yeah, we tried it earlier in the year. It didn't work, and Colorado did it last year, and they do it again this year, and I never saw it before, and it's very unorthodox. And at that stage of the game, you're sitting there, you know, maybe you get a goal, maybe something will happen, and turn the game around, but you know, you're definitely more than a long shot away from winning the game or just getting back on track. So it's sometimes you try it, and, you know, it's a couple face-offs. You might get a tired group on an icing. You might throw it at that unit or throw it at that occasion. But you're definitely grasping straws, and you're just trying to get very lucky and even more than that.
Pretty grueling stretch. Now you get a bit of a break here with the All-Star break. What are you going to do?
I am going to Colorado and going to go spend some time up there and do some skiing and relaxing.
And what are you hoping for the team? Just guys going to rest up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This was might have been the busiest stretch I've ever seen, 14 games in 24 days. So it's a time to get away, get re-energized, hopefully get warm and, you know, leave the skates away and you know, think of other things and maybe watch those guys that are out there playing in the All-Star game on the Sunday and have fun with it.
Do you have any loyalty to the Broncos from your years out there?
Love the Broncos. And at the same time, love the Bears here. Went to many Bronco games when I played and then I coached and then coached again. So it's a nice to see him do well. I know the president of the team, Joe Ellis, happy for him. And so I'll be rooting for the Broncos.
Hard not to. You're a Colorado guy, at least part of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, before we let you go, it occurs to me I've never asked you this. As a player, did you ever get your teeth knocked out?
Yeah, I got a bunch of rentals right now. Right as I touch them, absolutely.
And did you ever, I know the answer to this, but I want to hear you say it. Did you ever lie to a trainer or a coach to get back in the game when you really weren't ready?
Yeah, but back in the day, they never even asked you.
He's expected you to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wrap his head up. He's bleeding.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we will talk to you, but congratulations on last night. And getting her back on track, because even after a couple of Florida games, I know that was making you uncomfortable. And last night looked real, you know, it was Blackhawks hockey and another win.
Yeah, it was a good win and a good response. And in Florida, I think we ran out of gas, but I was impressed with how well Florida played. And we were all right in the Tampa game. So I think we were much better last night than we need to be going forward.
All right, Coach, enjoy the day.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Coach Joel Quenneville, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. And do you remember Hooters' slogan? Wow, look at those wings!
I don't think that's it, Steve.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not it?
It's the original wing joint.
Holy mackerel, those are incredible wings.
Isn't it a way of life?
Look at the size of those chicken wings.
That's not it.
Look at the size of those wings!
The curly fries are pretty good, actually.
By the way, a note on Corey Crawford.
Plump!
It doesn't say plump.
Wings.
Oh, okay.
A note on Corey.
Corey Crawford?
Seven shutouts. The last 4 years combined. Seven shutouts.
Wow.
Pretty good.
It's like an MVP year.
You would think. You would hope.
Yeah.
Someone said on social media they were Googling images of Corey Crawford and they were just pictures of brick walls.
That's a good meme, right? That's a good meme. It's a good meme. It's coming up on 9:20. It's the Steve Cochran Show. And what are we doing here, Kev? You want to take a break? We'll take a break. We'll come back. 7:20 WGN.
talked to Rachel Bloom last hour from My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. New episodes on the CW start tonight. And I'm giving you an opportunity between now and 10 o'clock to send me texts about crazy things you did to your ex or crazy things that happened to you, maybe at the hands of your ex. From the 501, not exactly something I did to an ex, but my girlfriend broke up with me. My mom was worried about how devastated I was, worried about my state of mind. She called me, said, please don't drive. I decided I had to get out of the house, so I went for a walk, and I got hit by a truck.
What? What?
They apparently wandered into traffic.
Apparently they're okay. They're
so devastated. Well, not only is he okay, he married the ex. They've been married for 13 years.
Oh.
Was she the one who hit him with the truck?
No.
Oh.
No. Well,
that would have been
the truck twist. The truck was a consequence of the breakup.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she sent the truck.
Yeah, she could have.
Yeah. They've been married for 13 years.
I knew someone.
Can you imagine every time she's upset with him for being an idiot? Because you know how stupid men are.
Not at all.
Yeah, no. Mm. Mary, you can vouch for this.
No.
You know what dopes we are.
Mm-hmm.
See? She's signed up immediately.
Yeah.
13 years they're married. Every time he does something stupid, he goes, yeah, but I got hit by a truck because you broke up with me.
Exactly. That's going to be hanging over her head.
630, I borrowed my ex's glasses because they work for me and I misplaced them. And she broke up with me. I went to one of the glasses stores for a fake pair because I had a picture of the ones that I lost. I got her a cheap pair of readers. She never knew the difference. The frames were $800.
Oh, that's an expensive proposition.
In the sixth, the 312, in the sixth grade, I got dumped by a girl for being cheap. Sixth grade, though. I got dumped by a girl for being cheap. And we all went to McDonald's the next day. I brought a Sprite and I poured it on her head.
Oh, no.
Nice.
I'm not cheap. I just poured a Sprite on your head.
Maybe that can be excused as like a youthful indiscretion.
Crazy ex move, even when you're 11.
It's a crazy ex move.
So
I knew someone, you did too, who was in a relationship with this guy, and he was drinking. Funny how alcohol is involved in a lot of these. He got mad. He punched the window in a cab, broke it. She got back together with him.
They still together?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The power of love and the power of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. It's 926, 312-981-7200. We'll give some prizes away before 10 o'clock. Andrea does a caucus raucous coming up before 10 o'clock as well. And several stories I haven't gotten to yet, but just remember the two things we've learned from the show today are Dan Hampton sings Chico is going to kick my butt and Coach Q calling his teeth rentals.
That was the best.
They brought up a point off the air, though. He thinks Q's got a lease with an option to buy.
Could be. So. They're rentals. I mean, at what point do you decide, well,
they're in your mouth.
Keep them.
You think he has to pay assessments?
I got to see a dentist today. I'll ask him. 927, we're back after this on 720 WGN.
Chico's going to kick my butt.
I grew up in the Hawkeye State with the combine on every corner. Like a labyrinth plate of gold God made from soil and air and water. You go to bed at 9 o'clock and you're up again at 4. Mama's cooking breakfast and Daddy's giving chores. Way back home where
who is
the
this?
Poor folk roam.
This is Josh Connor, the Iowa song.
The love theme from Iowa. As we welcome you to the first edition of the Caucus Raucous.
Yes.
With Andrea Darlis. What are you going to teach us today?
Today we are going to learn what is a caucus.
What's a caucus?
Iowa's Democratic and Republican caucuses are perhaps the most hyped presidential contest in the country, but also among the most confusing. So what is a caucus? It's an electoral event that essentially functions like a primary, like we go to the voting booths, but residents also cast ballots, and the candidate with the most ballots win. However, registered voters simply don't walk into a polling site and cast their ballot and leave. Caucus night is more time-consuming because it includes discussing the candidates, delegates, picking convention delegates, and dealing with state party business. All of these events not just held in you know, big arenas. They're very small venues like gymnasiums, churches.
In people's houses.
In people's houses, yep. The events will take place in 1,700 precincts all across the state, including churches, libraries, and gymnasiums. Now, there's 99 counties in Iowa, thus 99 conventions. So these county conventions that select the delegates for both Iowa's congressional district convention and the state convention, they'll eventually choose the delegates for president. So since 1972, the caucuses have been the first major electoral event of the nominating process for president. Strangely, though, although only about 1% of the nation's delegates are chosen by the state conventions, the caucuses sometimes serve as an early indication of which candidates for president might win. And I say sometimes because in 2008, Barack Obama won the Iowa Democratic caucuses with a very decisive 37% of the ballot. We know he eventually went on to take the White House. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee won that year's Republican caucus. However, he conceded 3 months later to the eventual nominee, who was John McCain.
Right.
Finished third in the Iowa balloting. And some say that third place is the place of doom. Obviously not the case.
In 2012, Mitt Romney was declared the winner. And this goes to the problem with counting the votes, because you have to have all 99 counties report in a timely fashion. You would think, well, how hard is that? Text your winning number. But there's more involved than that. And the actual winner was Rick Santorum.
Yes. This also, it can kind of be described as a, you know, like a potluck. You know, the residents, the voting members go, they can register up till the day of, you know. That they're going to be there, yeah. And they can change their mind at any time. It's not as though you declare Democrat or you declare Republican and that's what you have to do. You can change your mind up until the last day.
Now, we've never been to one. We're going to go to one on Monday night.
Yeah, I think we're going to go to a couple. We're going
to
go to a couple. One I know is in a gymnasium, so it'll be very small town feeling.
It'll be good. Cool. If I'm going to bring a ball so I can shoot around a little bit.
Okay, great.
My understanding is, and I could be wrong about this, but my understanding is you go in, you do the business of the party.
Right.
The representatives for each candidate have a moment to speak about the candidates in an effort to convince you to caucus for them.
Yes.
But then you break up into small groups for a bit.
And you discuss. Talk about things.
Okay. Cruz group over there in the corner with crazy carpet bombing ideas. Trump group over here in the corner, we're going to need more hair product. And then you discuss more before you actually fill out your ballot.
Exactly, exactly. I don't know if they're going to be talking about hair product, but that is something they definitely could discuss. And you're on the Trump side in this crazy world.
Yeah.
You're on the Trump side of the gym. And
you know me, I'm
Dave
a Trump
Bennett
man.
Is on the Hillary side of the gym.
Yep, that's the way I
see
it.
He can try and recruit you and pull you over to his side to join his candidates.
Right. So it's an interesting process. It's time consuming.
Very.
So that's one of the concerns that candidates have. You may say in a poll from the Des Moines Register or some newspaper or online site that you'll vote for me, but are you going to take a full night and commit your efforts to me and come out to the caucuses? And I got to say, Trump's people have done a very good job of stressing this.
Some people dress up. They dress up like patriots or, you know, they've had uniforms on. So it'll be very interesting to see. It's very historical.
People bring, like, food and stuff? Like
potlucks?
Sure.
So
they have casseroles and brownies and stuff?
You have all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
So that should be good. We'll get to have a few snacks
and Kevin's
as well.
Fast food embargo? No. What's the word I'm looking for?
My resolution.
Personal ban against fast food.
It's
ends
listed.
On... Yeah, it ends on Sunday.
It's lifted. We'll be doing these all throughout the week, and I have a special treat for Kevin on Friday because loose meat sandwiches, we're going to talk about some of the traditions in Iowa as well. Another thing that's new this year, Steve, active duty members of the military or the Iowa National Guard serving out of state can now participate via a telecaucus.
So wherever they are in the world.
Exactly.
Well, that's good.
So that's going to be new as well.
All right, so we will see if this actually turns out to be representative of the polling we've seen.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see.
And then this happened.
Hey, is this heaven?
No, it's Iowa.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about the Republican process versus the Democrat process, because they're two very different ways that they each caucus.
Yeah, here it's harder to caucus if you're a Democrat. Is that right?
We'll find out tomorrow.
Oh, look at you with the tease. It's 9:46. It's a caucus raucous with Andrea Darlis. Let's podcast that, too, so people can see it later or hear it later. Peyton Manning made an extra $2 million yesterday by beating the Patriots, and he could make $2 million more in the Super Bowl. The Broncos asked Peyton Manning to reduce his $19 million salary in the offseason last season. They settled on a $4 million reduction, but here's the asterisk. Get us to the Super Bowl, we'll give you $2 million. Win the Super Bowl, we'll give you $2 million more, and you're right back to $19 million. He's one win away from being whole.
Pretty good.
Not so bad. Speaking of money, here's an interesting story. Somebody took the time to add up the total value of real estate in all of the world. Commercial, personal, all of it. The entire property universe, including commercial and residential property, even forestry and agricultural land. I would ask you to try to guess what it is, but you don't have a clue. It's 36 times the total value of all the gold ever mined. It's 2.5 times the value of outstanding securitized debt. It's 4 times the total value of the world's equities. It's $217 million.
Million?
You know, you make up words and you go, it's a bazillion. It's 217 million million, which I believe is 217 with 15 zeros. 217 million million.
So it's bigger than a billion, bigger than a trillion.
Yes.
But not bigger than a gazillion.
No, a gazillion's a lot of money. I mean, you're really getting into serious money now. By the way, the person that added all of this up quit their job about 20 minutes later because they had a terrible headache. They couldn't believe they were asked to do it. It really made them nuts. And finally, this story out of New York. I battled my way for 12 blocks through mountains of snow and against treacherous winds on my bike. See, I'm a delivery guy. I had to pick up an order of chips, guacamole, and a grande quesadilla and deliver it to a banker at Morgan Stanley. The gusts whipped my cheeks raw as we turned the corner to Blockhead's restaurant to pick up the food. This is insane, I thought. Incredible, even stupid. Even for a girl from Iceland, which I am. But 10 minutes later, I arrived on my frozen bike. I walked up the storied investment bank's world headquarters step. I called up to the customer. "I'll be right down," he said. I dismounted the bicycle, tore off my goggles, tried to shake off the icicles matting my hair. The customer kept me waiting for 8 minutes. About the same amount of time. Said, "Is it cold out there?" while he signed the bill on my iPhone. He handed the phone back to me and told me to be careful. The bill was $25.53. He tipped me $1.75. And you thought you hated big bankers before. We're back after this with Bill and Wendy next, and a couple of texters to get to on those X texts on 720 WGN. Did you guys have a nice weekend?
It was very nice.
What'd you do?
Relaxed.
Okay, start with Friday at 3 when you left here.
I don't remember. I mean, it all blends together. I love my favorite part of the show today, Coach Q, when you asked him if he ever lost any teeth, and he said, "Yeah, I have a few rentals."
I got some rentals.
That's that the was best. Excellent.
I got some rentals.
It's greatest.
We've got Jamal Mayers on today.
I like Jamal.
He's
good guy.
He's got a clothing line. We're going to talk to him about that.
He's a sharp-dressed man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every girl's crazy about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both Wendy and I are former Kids of the Week. You forget that was the first time you ever met us.
That's how you guys got into show business.
1968, Wendy was Kid of the Week 1 week, and then I got it the next.
It was weird, too, because I was 8.
Right.
You know, when I was doing a show at my mom's house.
Still fun.
Yeah, it was good. So Jamal Mayer's coming up, amongst many other things, 10 to noon and 1 to 3 with that noon Wintrust Business Hour in between with the charming and delightful Steve Bertrand. Here's Wendy.